Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 26. We're actually going to read through verse 38. Luke chapter 1, 26 through 38. This is God's word. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." And then the angel left her. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. We are familiar with this story. We grew up hearing this story. And yet, I think it's difficult for most of us to begin to imagine how upsetting this message was. The first thing I want you to see is in verse 29. When the angel came and spoke to Mary, it wasn't just his appearance that was off-putting. It wasn't just his sudden appearance that was off-putting. It was what he said. Verse 29 says, Mary was greatly troubled at his words, and he hadn't even told her she was going to have a baby yet. This whole thing was, what? What do you mean? I mean, this was baffling. An angel shows up and says, "God has a wonderful plan for your life. God is about to do something special for you." Now, you'd think, well, that's wonderful. Well, it's wonderful until it starts interfering with our plans. You see, Mary was a young woman, probably in her early teens, who was engaged to be married, and she was looking forward to it. No doubt, things were moving along, and she's looking forward to this. She's got a nice life. Joseph is a nice man. It's all going to be good. And suddenly, God comes on the scene in the form of his spokesperson speaking through his angel, his messenger. And when Gabriel shows up and says, "You are highly favored by the Lord," things are never going to be the same. And Mary didn't understand everything that was going to take place, but even before the angel said that she was going to have a baby, just the idea that she was going to be a part of a special plan? Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. That should be a comforting message. That should be a reassuring message. But let me ask you honestly, if I told you that in 5 minutes God is going to physically walk into the room, would you say, oh boy, this will be nice? Or would it be like, oh my word, oh, ah. Right? So Mary is troubled by the nearness of God. So, verse 30. First thing she's told, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. Now, he'd already said, greetings, you who are highly favored. And now he's letting those words, as he repeats them, begin to sink in. You have found favor with God. Have you ever been in a work situation where you could tell your boss was pleased with you? Well, I want you to think about what it means for God to say to us, I am pleased with you. God saying that. You know, if God says that, it doesn't much matter what other people think, does it? If the Lord favors us, then Caesar Augustus can go jump in a lake. Okay? Because if God favors us, he's in charge of the universe. So if you're in good with God, that's a really good thing. And Mary is told, I'm going to say it again by this angel. You have found favor with God. God is pleased with you. Let me ask you, do you believe that that is true for you? I mean, a lot of us go around with this idea that God is just about one step away from blotting us out. Okay? Because we look at our performance like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Oh, that wasn't the right thing to say. Oh, my goodness. And we don't realize that the Bible tells us that God has chosen to love us and to view us through the lens of the righteousness of Christ. What an amazing, absolutely astounding piece of good news. When God looks at me, he sees the one in whom he is well pleased. Amen. That is amazing. But, Pastor, I mean, you're like a religious professional. And so I can understand where maybe God would favor you. But you don't know me. Let me tell you, God loves you so much, he sent Jesus to take your place, to take your punishment, to remove everything that stood between you and him.
Amen.
That's how much he loves you. The Apostle Paul says, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? God really loves you that much. You think he'd say, well, yeah, it's true. I sent my son to die for you, but I don't love you that much. No, he loves us that much. He sent his son. What beyond that could you think of? It doesn't get better than that. There's not a greater magnitude than to send his son to die in our place. He really, really loves us. And not because we're so lovable. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Hallelujah. He came to save sinners. It's not about our pedigree. It's not about our performance. It's about Jesus. And so Mary is told, don't be afraid. You have found favor with God. And I would say to you this morning on the authority of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, don't be afraid. You have found favor with God. He sent his son to save us so that we could be called dearly loved children of God. That is really good news. That is really good news.
This is a difficult time of year for many people. You may be struggling with loneliness, grief, or even depression. It was into a dark and troubled world that God sent his son. Jesus died and rose again so that you could be part of his family. This is Jim Wood with Abiding in Christ, reminding you you're not alone and you are loved. Cry out to God. He hears and he answers. The angelic message is still for you. Don't be afraid.
You have found favor with God, the angel tells her, and then I want you to see the certainty with which the angel's message proceeds. He doesn't say, you are likely to become pregnant, and we believe it's going to be a boy, and it would be good if you could name him Jesus, which means the Lord saves. Is that the way the message proceeds? No. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end. God's not placing bets. God's not simply laying out a plan and saying, this is the way I'd like things to go if I can get enough people to cooperate. God is declaring his plan from before the creation of the world. And so when Mary is told what is going to happen, I want you to see that her response of faith was different from the response of Zechariah when the angel came and gave him a message about what was going to happen. If you look at the contrast between verse 34, what Mary says, and verse 18, what Zechariah said, you'll see that there's a difference. In verse 18, Zechariah asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years. So how can I be sure? Mary says in verse 34, how will this be? Not, do you think this will be? But, okay, this is what's going to happen. Tell me how. She says, since I am a virgin. And at this point, it is worth noting that we live in a world of imbeciles who think somehow more primitive minds could believe in the virgin birth, but now in our age we know that such things are impossible. Every year it's the most tiresome drivel from supposed scholars, many of them with doctorates, who simply display their complete ignorance and arrogance. Dr. Luke, who recorded this, knew about where babies come from. Mary, who was in her early teens and a virgin, knew where babies come from. That's the point of her question when she says, how will this be since I am a virgin? She knows that this would take something miraculous. Well, if you are an atheist, the miraculous is something of a problem for you. But if you know that there is a God who is the creator of all things, then miracles are not a stretch. God spoke the universe into being. So once you understand that everything, including the laws of physics, are the creation of God. All these things are His creation. Once you get that, then the idea that God would do something that is outside the norms, not problematic at all. Not even a little. Intellectually, nobody can make an argument against God being able to do this. Now, if you want to say there is no God, that's fine. You do the heavy lifting and try and prove that scientifically, intellectually, you can't. Your ability to make an argument is predicated on certain things that actually require a creator. So you are really working against yourself when you try to make those arguments. But if you realize that God is the creator, then what the angel says about God is something we need to understand. Verses 35 through 37. Mary gets her explanation. The angel said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month." Here's the key, verse 37. "For nothing is impossible with God." Does God ever look at a situation and say, "Oh, I'm sorry, but that's just too hard"? God gets angry in the scriptures when people doubt His ability to do things. God repeatedly speaks through the prophets and tells His people, "My arm is not short. I am able to do this." So, Mary is told, this is how it's going to be. The Trinity, God in three persons, is revealed right here in this passage. Look again at verses 35 through 37. "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so that the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." If He's the Son of God, who would you say is the Father? Maybe the Father? God the Father? Would that be kind of where we get that terminology? So you've got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All three right here in this passage. Well, you know, the word Trinity is not used in the Bible. That's true. That's true. Nor are you mentioned by name, except in places like John 3:16, where it says, "God so loved the world." Do you exist? Are you included in the you that's the world? Because let me tell you something. It doesn't have to use the word Trinity. The word Trinity is simply a word that people came up with to describe what is clearly revealed in Scripture. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Unmistakably, from Genesis to Revelation, over and over and over and over. So, this Christmas, I'm reminding you from the Scriptures of the message of the angel, who says to people whose routine is interrupted, "Don't be afraid." Now for Mary, these were scary words. She's not only told you found favor with God, she's told you're going to have a baby and God's going to be the Father. Who do you suppose in Mary's life would accept that explanation? Elizabeth, who'd had her own miracle, who was 6 months into her pregnancy. God had prepared not only John the Baptist to be the forerunner for Jesus, but Elizabeth to be someone who could console Mary and say, "Yes, miracles happen, and I know that's true, and God has done this." And so if you read the verses that follow, all the way down through verse 56. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. She hurried to see her in verse 39. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea. She didn't get on the train. She didn't have a car. She had to make a long journey, and she made it in a hurry because she wanted somebody who could say, yes, you're not dreaming. God is up to something miraculous. And when she gets to Elizabeth's house, verse 41, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And in a loud voice she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. Why did she know that? Why did she say that? Because she was filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit knew that. Because the Holy Spirit is the one who was at work in this situation. Folks, as extraordinary as these circumstances are, they are still instructive about how we are to live. We are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And God will give us a perspective that is not readily available to those who don't know Him. You see, God already knows everything about your situation. And it may seem scary when God asks you to receive His blessing. It may be something that's going to be hard to explain, difficult for others to understand, completely unfamiliar to you. And yet, it is the plan of God. It is His provision, and you need to rejoice. Mary was about to receive the most marvelous gift, Jesus. And she's going to be the mother of the one who comes to save. That is amazing, but it will be costly. And it will cause her to be reviled. And it will pierce her soul when she sees the son she loves lifted up on a cross to die. God's blessings are truly wonderful, but they're not without pain. They're not without cost. And you and I are told, don't be afraid.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.